G'day everyone, welcome to the QSI podcast series. Today I'm being joined by the head lawyer of Law Essentials, Chris Thompson. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, good, thanks, Eric.
Chris, as someone who's been in the legal game for quite some time, I've got to ask you, in the typical run of things when governments change legislation, you're going to see some kind of impact on the commercial fishing industry. That's just a given, yeah?
Yes.
And for those listening, the reason we reached out today is that we want to get some perspectives from you in a general sense, because we're not asking for advice, obviously, for us. But the regulations that are coming into force on the 1st of September this year, there is one particular piece of regulation that I've sent to you, and it's about landing of product and what the new regs are going to demand of commercial fishermen. I might actually read out that piece of legislation. So Chris, as at 1 September 2021, commercial fishers will not be able to land at a private landing location unless it is, so you've got two options here, A, a public place, or B, a place other than a public place that is used for trade or commerce but is not a residence. So we have concerns with this piece of regulation, and we talked about them in the previous podcast. What's your perspective on this, mate?
Well, from what I'm hearing, what that new regulation is going to mean is that some crabbers in particular, and maybe netters as well, will have to travel much greater distances from nice, safe landing spots and go into rougher water, many more kilometres on the water and that sort of thing. So to me, it's just one of those poorly thought through regulations that are going to come in. And I note that some of the fishers and even yourself at QSIA actually asked the department about it, and they've just quoted back exactly just what you read out with no interest in what you're even asking them is or telling them is going to be the sort of collateral damage from that sort of a stroke of the pen. When you look at that sort of thing where fisheries are literally putting in a regulation that will cause potential safety issues, whether that just be from weather, fatigue type issues, or just create more expense to the commercial fisher and then ultimately the public, then that's something that the department should really look hard at and consider making some adjustments with what they're proposing. Now, I can see that what they're proposing, why they're doing it. Yes, they presumably just want certain places that get product landed and that sort of thing. But for some of the special circumstances, if you like, where people are just not going to be able to go 5 minutes down the road or down the creek or whatever, and there's the better place, for some people, it's going to be a real, real problem, to the point where they might be risking their own safety or that of any crew that they might have, risking issues with the product quality that they're trying to land, and also just create more expense. Under the AMSA umbrella, as fishers might be aware, you've got a general safety obligation in any commercial fishing, any recreational fishing for that matter. For commercial fishing, so that just simply means, well, okay, if Joe Blow the crabber now has to go into open water to get around some sort of headland or whatever and travel for miles in rougher weather to unload their product, when before there was no issue with what they were doing, that is, fisheries knew where they were landing, could inspect whenever they required to, etc., then fisheries forcing someone to do that is just overkill and really contrary to what AMSA is trying to get with safety to commercial fishers in the first place. The department is proposing seems to conflict with their own legislation, i.e. the Fisheries Act, namely that all their decisions are meant to be, obviously for sustainability reasons, I get that, don't necessarily agree with everything, but that's certainly what has to happen, but also that the principles of doing that sort of thing is to maximise the potential economic, social and cultural benefits to the community. Now, economic, is this what I'm talking about, the greater expenses to fishers, and then you've got that whole safety aspect. So it just makes no sense to me that it would just be to the department, just black and white, where they say, nope, you can't do that, bad luck, despite what the consequences might be. It's just really, arguably contrary to the Fisheries Act in the first place, certainly contrary to anything AMSA has on their own website. And I'll just read you out a couple of things. Everyone must provide and maintain a vessel that is safe. So that means if their vessel's too small to go out into the open water, that's an issue. Don't operate or cause the vessel to operate in an unsafe manner. Ensure everybody operating the equipment's doing it correctly. Take reasonable care for their own safety and do not unreasonably put anyone else at risk. Now, the problem with that for commercial fishers is that their own insurance is now an issue. So if something actually happens to them because they've had to take a detour just because of a regulation that the department's brought in, that's a real issue. So that insurers don't like paying out money as a general rule. So an insurer is always going to be looking at ways to not pay out money. So if someone's just taken the risk and gone around and the wind's blowing up and something happened and life lost or just some sort of other personal injury or equipment loss, then there's a real problem for the commercial fisher. And the department should be all over that because that's what AMSA's telling everyone to do. But this regulation for this specific one is just going against that and making people potentially take risks or do something that's just simply not economical. So I don't understand why fisheries are, and I understand there's some consultation tour going on at the moment or something where they've literally said, and I've seen some of the emails, they've literally said that they don't want to discuss anything, any regulations or a law that's coming in the future. They only want to discuss current rules and regulations. But the answer to that is, well, why wait for something to actually come in and be proven to be just impractical when they've got the opportunity now where plenty of people have said the issues with this landing case? Why don't they just put it some sort of exemption, like just a special condition on a person's license if they can prove that they were always landing at this spot over the many years or whatever it is?
That's a particularly good point, because apparently there are those arrangements already set up with some fishermen along the coast.
Yeah. So I don't understand. If someone can just give some basic evidence to say, well, this is where I've landed. You've seen me land there before. There's access for fisheries to get there, to check on quota, all that sort of thing. I don't understand why it's so hard for that just to simply be a condition on their license. Now, everyone's got VMS now, so it's even more so that, well, no one's hiding anywhere. They can see exactly where the person's going. And quite frankly, if someone's got the condition on their license and suddenly they're going off somewhere else and not alerting fisheries to it, then, yeah, they should be wrapped over the knuckles or whatever it is. But if people are genuine, that they need their safe landing spot that's economical, safe, all that sort of thing, and historically used, then they should be given the benefit of the doubt because they can be policed in any event. And the whole purpose of the quota thing and this compliance is for fisheries to be able to better monitor things. Well, I just don't see the issue personally, that why couldn't these people just remain at these landing spots, which I understand some of the people that have called in and whatnot, that those actual sites are even listed with boating and fishery.
So I've got an answer to, because you posed the question now twice, and I think it's worth asking, why have they done this without sugarcoating? Because they don't give a shit about this industry and particularly the people in it. I mean, you can't say that, but I can. You talk about a tour of government talking to fishermen. I didn't know anything about that. It would have been nice for all the industry groups in this state to have been given a heads up, and maybe they were, but I guess one of the benefits of being able to do something like this is that we can go out and have the discussions that the department won't have with the community, let alone the fishermen, because the more you peel away at this, one of the questions we have is, or a view of this, I guess, is a more correct way to put this, Chris, is that this regulation, much like the so-called reform, is a solution to a problem that we don't have. We've got sustainable fisheries. We now have a situation where we can land our product is being dictated to, and in a situation where we didn't have VMS, the argument would would be less strong in that sense. But if they're tracking us now 24/7 wherever we go, they know whether or not we're doing potentially or in the right areas by having VMS across the entire fleet. So that kills that argument. These arrangements were working okay until quota came in. And I think one of the drivers, if we're talking from a policy point of view, not necessarily a legal one, and both are just as valid in this circumstance, all they needed to do, and by they, for those listening, I mean Fisheries Queensland and their officers who don't want to get out and actually talk to groups of fishermen, but individuals, you could have come out and talked to some people. I could get a room with four or five fishermen that have got a couple hundred years of experience in the game, and they would have told you straight up, these are the things that aren't going to work here. And you've just outlined them. So extra cost for no reason, inconvenience for no reason. But the more important one in my mind is potentially breaking of the law, potentially fatigue issues, which could cause real harm to people. And then finally, the one that sort of wraps this all up is, why put more pressure on people when it wasn't necessary to do so? And if you're going to ask, and I think you may ask this as the next question, the consultation process for all this has been just woeful. And the assumption has been that they've got the department, Fisheries Queensland, understand how to legislate in this space. And they've proven time and again that they don't. So it was good to hear Neil Green and David Perkins be able to give multiple perspectives on that. And you've sort of come in and given us the other perspective, but we shouldn't have to wait until somebody gets hurt, or, you know, God forbid, somebody gets killed because they're fatigued or tired, or they're running their vessel in waters that their vessels weren't designed to work in.
You know, what I recommend as one thing that you could do is lobby AMSA directly and show them what this is going to actually do and how that's going to be an issue with the general safety obligation, all that sort of stuff. So the problem is here, any regulations, whatever, to the office down in Brisbane or whatever it might be, where the people are thinking up this stuff to put into legislation, like, it always looks pretty good on paper. But when you just start speaking to people that will know what will happen in practice, and then you've got, what about this, what about that? And I'm not talking about that there's always an argument for everything. I'm just pick up what you just said then, where, well, it's been working before, no issue. Now you've A, got VMS, and B, you could just have something special written on your license that that's your only landing point. And what's the problem? I don't understand what the problem is with that. Why isn't Fisheries or the legislators, et cetera, then talking more just about that? And that's where I think maybe AMSA might actually assist to some degree with once you put those scenarios to them about that this is the impact of that particular legislation with the landing points, because it just makes no sense.
Yeah, it's good advice. I'll do that, mate. That's a follow-up from this particular discussion. But I guess one of the other things that we could add to this list of major issues, safety issues, let alone legal issues, is the potential conflict that's going to happen on public boat ramps, not just between commercial fishers, but with recreational fishers that don't want to see us around. And I guess part of having landing sites that aren't in built up, highly dense recreational fishing areas helps us to avoid that. And some fishermen will tell you that they have the landing sites that they've got to avoid just that problem, and potentially having vehicles, motors interfered with, tire slash. This stuff happens on a regular basis, whether people want to admit it or not. This goes on. And so putting ourselves potentially in harm's way for a piece of regulation that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it just beggars belief that we can go down this track. And all of this is a reflection of where the reform process has gone. Chris, as always, thank you for your time. For those listening, this has been the QSIA podcast series. So, Chris, thanks again, mate.
No worries, Eric.